Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. And nature has a lot to offer today because today's title, Bug Hunting, A Day in the Life of Insect Fun. And right away, I know some of you out there are going, insects, I hate them, squash them, kill them. Well, guess what? There are so many beneficial insects as well. So we've got to find a better, genuine love for these insects. Hopefully by the end of this show, you will have that. And here's one of the main reasons. More than 1 million species on Earth. 95% of all animals on Earth are insects. So guess what? You, the human person out there, you are outnumbered. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So maybe what we should do today is talk about insects, like the science behind, because this is Joey B. Outdoors, Science and Nature. And we'll talk about that. And then we'll get into a couple little stories about insects and some great beneficial insects and what do they really do. So insects, they have three parts. They have a head, an abdomen, and a thorax. They have three pairs of legs, except for the arachnid family, spiders and ticks. And hey, I'm okay they have four sets of legs, or four pairs of legs, I should say that. Well, I'm okay with if you said, well, I don't like ticks. Hey, neither do I, and it's part of life. Spiders, and I'm not joking. I live in this beautiful old home. When I first moved in, before I was actually in the home, you know, I'm walking through the house, and one room away from, I'm telling you, away from any food source, upper corner bedroom, there were these huge black ants inside of it. I mean, they had built a colony in there. So I went outside, a big piece of property. I went out and found the biggest spider I could find. Picked him up, gently, of course. Brought him in that room, closed the door, just dropped him in. And I am telling you, because, you know, again, we're doing so many different things before I moved in, about painting and all these other things. And that door stayed closed. Went back about 2 weeks later, not an ant. The spider had dispersed somewhere else. Hey, maybe ended up outside, maybe ended up in another room. But I am telling you right now that the ants were gone. When I first moved in, I just told you, beautiful old home. There was larvae of an insect I couldn't figure out in the basement, and it was all over some of the beams. Went out and found another spider, bigger than the first guy. Put him down there, ate all of them. So they're all gone. Spider dispersed, gone. So you see, you know, we don't think about spiders as being beneficials, but they truly, truly are. And this is just me, family party, Christmas Eve, some firewood, wood-burning stove. And all of a sudden, there's a spider, and one of my little nieces, spider. I said, wait, don't kill him. And we picked him up, brought him into another room away from her. She thinks I put her outside, the spider outside. And just, so no, I'm not this like hug a spider t-shirt type of guy, but I also realize the benefits that they have because, hey, would you rather have one spider or a bunch of ants? And no joke, some people would probably rather have all those ants. But hey, that's on you. So now, going back to the insects themselves, arthropods, invertebrates, they lack a backbone, so they have an exoskeleton, an outside one, no eyelids, and there's a protective covering there. And when they are going through their stages, there are four stages in general. The egg, larva, you might call it a caterpillar, the pupa, and the adult. And they have two antennae. Now, let's go to a cool story. And I've shared the story before, but it's worthwhile because now we're into the bug hunting days of monarch butterflies. And monarchs, they will lay their eggs on milkweed. And a monarch, when it's born, doesn't have any toxins inside of its body. And this is the cool in an ecology. This is the word we use is association. And the egg hatches, so now you've got the larval stage, and you'd say caterpillar, some of you, and it begins to eat the leaves, and it picks up the toxin in the leaves inside of its body. So that's its natural protector because, hey, you happen to be this cardinal, beautiful red bird flying around, and you look down and you see a monarch butterfly and go, wow, cool meal. You zip down and put him in your mouth and you spit him out because, yuck, he's got that toxin in his body. And then you don't touch any more monarchs around there. So you see, there are these great things going on in nature. And then when we talk about migration, now, you happen to be a monarch butterfly in North America. So let's just say that you live in a northern state, and I'll just use Maine. You are going to fly all the way, flap. So think about how big you are. You're going to flap all the way to the Sierra Madre Mountains in Mexico. And that's where you winter over. So that's an amazing journey. When we talk about migration, because, hey, I mean, I love the big raptors, and you got a broad-winged hawk soaring by, and his little butterfly is flapping by. So think about that journey. And then you always hear me, and this is who I am as an environmental scientist, about talking about protecting and preserving habitat. We are destroying habitat, and that is hurting the monarchs here in North America, or, you know, northern Canada, United States. And then in Mexico, we are also destroying some of the habitat in the Sierra Madre Mountains. So we need to protect and preserve because, hey, these animals have been around long before us, and we'll probably, at the rate we're destroying the earth, and I sort of joke, but then serious, they may be around long after us as well. Now, here's a cool fact, and I'll get to another insect that you might not be thrilled about, but all butterflies, they taste their food with their feet. So when they land on a flower, they're getting a taste. You know, and I tried this at a family party once when I put my feet in the mashed potatoes. They weren't real thrilled about it at that juncture. But, hey, all the mashed potatoes were to myself. I'm just kidding. Now, so there's a cool little insect fact. See, I told you, some of this stuff is pretty neat. Now, here's another thing. Joey B, that's me. Could you imagine this? I am allergic to bees. And if you want to learn all about that story, go to my Don't Look Now category and you'll see that, you know, me and bees. And it's a great story. But don't leave this show to listen to that show. You need to listen to this once. Now, we don't think about insects as being this really like brainiac type of organism. Well, think about this. You happen to be a bee. You're a honeybee. And your job is to go out and find some flowers so that people can go out and get pollen and nectar and bring it all back. So you now flew 2 miles away. So think about, you're a bee and you flew 2 miles. You found the perfect patch of flowers. Now you come back to the hive and you go, I got to let you know, because see, my job was only to find it, not collect it in nature like lots. But I did bring back a taste. So I get back in the hive. And the bees whose job is to really go collect, I give you all a taste, give you all a taste. And now while I gave you a taste, I have to let you know exactly where to go. And we all say, well, hey, let's just pull out our GPS. You see, bees have this built-in GPS, and this is really neat. So what happens is I begin to do a dance. No, it's not the Irish jig. I am doing a dance called the waggle dance, and I'm wagging my little bee butt, and I'm just waggling. But I am telling you direction by my dance, and the center straight up in the hive is considered where the sun is. But again, by the time I collected what I was going to bring back to you and flew back, the sun had moved. So I use the top of the hive as where the sun would have been when I found it and in my dance. So I am directing you exactly. And it's amazing. A number of bees whose job is now to go collect will fly exactly to that patch of flowers. Now, when you want to talk about amazing, that is utterly amazing. And I have to classify bees as part of our beneficials. And I have people like, oh my goodness, there's a bee. Well, guess what? If you don't swat at a bee, the bee could care less about you. And that's just part of it. And some of the beneficial insects, well, they're pollinators, as I just spoke about. How about praying mantises? And praying mantis, if you see a praying mantis and you happen to see its egg case, just keep track of it. Don't touch it. Don't let it just be. And when it opens up, you will see, and I'll just use the fun made-up name, the plural, many praying mantis. You'll see hundreds of babies coming out. Really, really cool. And obviously, we spoke about spiders also as being beneficials. Well, what attracts an insect? the two main things are color and scent. And in some of my grad research, we did some experiments trying to change colors of flowers, trying to change scent of flowers, and just seeing how different insects reacted to it. And then I'm going to let you know that some of you are going, oh, the insects always come around me. And this is not being sexist. I'm going to say most times it is a female. You go, well, why? Because females like to use, and I'm going to say this, guys first to some extent do, but they use shampoos that have fragrances in them, deodorants that have fragrances in them, perfumes, obviously fragrant, and even some of the sunscreens. Now think about this. You're putting a sunscreen on at the beach that has a fragrance to it, and then you're going, all these big old flies, the horse flies in it. Well, guess what? You're attracting them. So I'm going to tell you this. So male or female right now, try to use a shampoo that has no scent or next to no scent. There are many deodorants out there that are not scented. Don't use perfumes, or if you're male, cologne when you head out into the wild or anywhere in outside, and find some sunscreens that have zero fragrance to them. So that's just something for you as well. Now, let's go to the tiny little ant. And here's a neat thing. You ever see ants walking, and I don't want to say in a straight line, but you just see them motoring along. Well, what happens is this. Once again, I'm an ant. My job is to go out and find food. And I am going to leave a pheromone trail. All organisms have pheromones and release them, including humans. And I release this trail along. And as I release it, I go back to our colony. And the ants whose job is to go collect will actually follow that pheromone. So they're actually following a trail of a scent that no one else can smell besides them. And they're following that trail right to the food source. Hey, so as you're listening right now, those of you that are going, well, I didn't like insects. Maybe some of you are going, hey, man, this is pretty cool stuff here. And by the way, I think it is cool stuff here because I love all organisms. Maybe except for this guy here. So let's go to mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are like this. The females are the ones that will actually bite you. And you're going, well, why are they biting me? And why is it females? You see, females need protein to lay eggs. So what happens is they're not really biting you, or say out in the wild, a raccoon or a lion or tigers or bears. So they're biting one of them to get the proteins that are in the blood. So obviously they're taking blood because they're extracting the proteins because they need that to lay eggs. Males are pollinators. So, and males happen to be the larger of the species, and there's many, many different types of species of mosquitoes. But sometimes you see a mosquito like that's like the size of Alaska, this monstrous one. You're going, oh my goodness, look at that, kill it. That one doesn't bite at all. He's going to a flower, so don't even worry about him. Now, when you hear that by your ear, you're going, man, that's crazy noise. That's because they can flap their wings 500 times per second. So think about if they were in the Olympics, how fast they would be. All right, I just thought I'd share a little bit. So now let's talk about wing shape between a couple different organisms, because some people go, well, that's a butterfly. No, that's a moth. Well, let's figure this out. Butterflies, their wings are vertical when they're resting, and a moth, their wings are against their body when they're resting. Dragonflies, their wings are horizontal when resting, and damselflies, their wings are closed when resting. Now go back to a dragonfly. They can fly, because sometimes you just see them, they can fly 50 miles an hour. So think about this. You try running, you can run 10 miles an hour, and they're flying 50 miles an hour. But their lifespan, and this is a sad thing, because, hey, this is part of aquatic insects. Some of them do not live long. Many of the species of dragonflies, their lifespan is 24 hours. So their job is actually to come up, mate, and female lay eggs, and they die and goes on. And this show is really about, and I'm going to do one on aquatic insects, but this really is truly about terrestrial insects. So now people see the Beatles, and I don't mean John, Paul, Ringo, Paul, Mo, Larry, Curly, whoever they all are. 1/4 of all the known plants and animals on Earth are beetles. So you think about like that number. So we should be a little kinder, gentler to those beetles. Now, flies. They also can taste sugar with their feet, you know, like the butterflies. So you see, the butterflies, they're cool, and we don't like flies. Once again, we attach certain things. And now, watch this. They're touching it and with their feet and tasting it. They are 10 million times more sensitive to that taste than the human tongue. And most flies, and which I'm going to say I'm in this category now, most flies, they live about 14 days. Again, there are many species that are out there, so plus or minus. So that is something. And I'm just going to share with you that we're not big fly fans. We're not big beetle fans. Many people are not mosquito fans. A jillion people are not spider fans. But there are so many insects that are out there that out. Hey, you just go to pollination. It is their job to pollinate this earth. And when we spray chemical out there, and this is why, you know, my great friend Inspector Dave, who does on the Joey B TV, JOEYBEE.TV, that site, he does a lot of the organic, he does all of the organic gardening episodes. And we do quite a number of things with pollinators and specifically bees in his garden and all. So we have to get away because it's, you want to know something? It is so easy to become organic, whether it's your garden or your lawn, and you can watch those episodes. And we even have some here on the Joey B Outdoors Science and Nature podcast show. I am there with Inspector Dave in the studio and he's chatting about it. And again, hey, I know quite a bit, but he is the expert about it. And we chat about these things. So let's see if we can get away from chemicals. Hey, you think about this. You're putting chemical on your lawn, and then you have your child or your neighbor's child or your dog or your neighbor's dog on that lawn. They are picking up chemicals that are cancerous. So again, I'm sort of prophesizing out there saying, hey, don't. But guess what? You need to make good quality decisions, because here's the key deal. When I am teaching, like I'll step into a classroom somewhere, they ask me to speak, you know, on stage, it's a little bit more difficult to describe this one because, you know, and as you see my example, but when I'm in a classroom, I will actually bring a jigsaw puzzle in and I'll say, okay, look at all the pieces. I said, but what happens if I was to take out one of these pieces and you didn't know and you're putting a puzzle? Could you ever fully put that puzzle together? And they're like, well, no, you can't do it. I said, well, that's what life is like on Earth. We are all connected through food chains, food webs. And because of that, we need to make sure that we are taking care of every living organism on Earth. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's JOEYBEE.TV. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.